Thanks, Tom. Now it's time for Backyard Archaeology and some very small, bony old men.
Well, today I'm in Aberdeen Art Gallery with Judith Stones, lead curator of local history and archaeology at Aberdeen Art Gallery Museums. And today we're going to look at what has survived down to us that otherwise wouldn't normally survive, artefacts that usually disappear in the record. But whilst I'm here, I cannot resist the opportunity to come and visit the Lewis Chessmen at the Aberdeen Art Gallery. Judith, in front of me are these little figures. Could you just describe what they look like?
Well, they're absolutely charming, and I think they appeal in so many different ways. They appeal to me because I'm an archaeologist, and it's wonderful they've been found in the ground after all these years. But I think they're just fantastic images of people, each one different. There's some, obviously, as a chess set, you've got knights and kings and queens and rooks and bishops. They're carved from walrus ivory. They're just a few centimetres tall, but very, very detailed and delicate, with lovely faces, and some of them are sitting on very, very elaborately carved chairs.
Well, as Judith said, they are exquisite, and they're probably about 3 to 4 inches high. They're found in the 1800s on the Isle of Lewis. Where do they come from, and when do they date to? Do we know?
Well, I understand that the latest thinking is that they're either late 12th or early 13th century, certainly in manufacture and in use. They've probably been used over quite a long period of time. They come from a very long tradition of Scandinavian art, going back very much into the Viking period, and actually nicely on display here are some other items from that kind of tradition. They are thought perhaps to have been made the Scandinavian city of Trondheim, which was a major medieval centre at that particular period. And they're kind of on a trade route almost between Trondheim and Dublin. So there's a theory that they might have been on the way to that other great medieval centre. I think that's partly because everyone's trying to explain why they're in Lewis, which, well, it's that kind of middle of nowhere thought, yeah. which has long been there, but I think is very inappropriate. I mean, clearly it was a farming, fishing community like any other at that period. It was part of a Scandinavian rather than a Scottish kingdom. And we know from documentary sources that obviously you had a quite affluent and well-informed and cultured hierarchy in that area who might well have used these things.
Well, if you do get the chance to drop by and visit the Lewis Chessmen, they are on display at the Aberdeen Art Gallery and they will be moving to different places on exhibition, so please look that up. There's men biting shields, horses, warders, pawns, kings, queens. They're just exquisite and well worth a look at. Now we're going to trundle off through the snow and head over to the Maritime Museum, where I believe Judith has some nice goodies out on display for me. So, Judith and I have arrived at the Maritime Museum in Aberdeen. We've moved to the very top floor, the third floor, past lots of diving equipment and bits of ships and what have you. But what we're interested in today is medieval Aberdeen. And we've moved from the Lewis Chessmen to what looks to be a barrel. Judith, can you just describe to our listeners what's in front of us at the moment?
Well, this case includes a number of organic items, including the complete wooden barrel, which was found in the Gallagate area of Aberdeen some years ago. It's a wonderful survival because it's wood and it dates from the 14th century. It survived because of the waterlogged soils in Aberdeen. And modern scientific assessments allow us to date it through dendrochronology, that's tree ring dating.
Yes.
To the middle of the 14th century, and part of the same process called dendroprovenancing, to have assessed where it might come from in the sense of where the trees grew. The likelihood is somewhere around the Baltic Sea in the area of Poland that is against us beside the sea. There's the Baltic Sea, Pomerania it's called.
That's marvellous. So there's a barrel in front of us which we know the date of and we know where it comes from. Also in the case there looks to be a tusk and... Is that the top of a...
From one of the hoops from the barrel.
Ah, excuse me, not a tusk.
I think it's ash. The barrel itself is oak, and I think the hoops are ash, and they survived as well. The barrel in its latter days ended up just as a water container, very humble and on a backland site in Aberdeen, but would have come probably containing some sort of goods. Some people have said that barrels were the plastic bags of the Middle Ages. I mean, they were just a kind of universal carrying equipment, so they could have brought almost anything in.
I never would have thought of barrels as plastic carrier bags, but that's a very nice analogy. Now, over to our right, we've got more fantastic objects that have survived. Can you just point out and describe what this is in front of us here?
In front of us here is a paddle, a wooden paddle. I suppose it's about just under a metre long, with a long handle and what would have been a T-shape at the end of the handle. It's made of oak, and again, it was found in medieval Aberdeen, which has these wonderful waterlogged soils that preserve these organics. It's been examined by experts, and it's thought possibly to be the paddle from a coracle or curragh. There's a type prevalent up to relatively recently in Wales, which has this kind of T-shaped handle, and it was helped you to haul the paddler, as it were, the curragh person, master, to haul the curragh onto their back for carrying it. So we imagine someone paddling around in this on the River Dee, possibly doing a spot of fishing in the 13th or 14th century.
Marvellous. So there's the paddle to our right, which is probably for fishing purposes on the river, which is stone's throw away from where we're stood now. Judith, there was another item you were going to bring in today, and unfortunately we couldn't move it, but we had a chat about it. And without being too crude, I think you said it smelt of urine. Can you just tell everybody what we're talking about?
We have masses of medieval leather shoes. From a recent dig that is actually being written up at the moment, something like 18,000 fragments of leather.
That's a lot.
Including 100 complete shoe soles. So that sets it in context. I just love these because they tell you so much about people in medieval Aberdeen. We've got some where the shoe has been expanded to allow a bunion to be accommodated.
Wow.
And you can see whether people walked sort of down at heel or down at toe, whether their gait was kind of straightforward or whether they might have limped a little bit. And best of all, and of course children love this, maybe it's something to do with the conservation process, but these shoes smell, I think, of sweaty feet.
And that was Judith Stone speaking to Tom Birch. And that's it for Naked Archaeology this month. If you want to get in touch about anything, then do email us. The address is archaeology, and you can spell that in the American way if you wish, at thenakedscientists.com. A big thanks to all our interviewees and our researcher this month, who was Duncan Howitt Marshall.
Laying the artifacts bare. Naked Archaeology. We'll be right back.